Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got a few of the bad boys with me, and a special guest, and a special caller, and it keeps going. Simon Street, what's up?
How's everybody doing?
Good, good. Matt Michaels.
Waiting for the pyro.
Oh, boy. Y'all gonna end up making me leave this in. And we have our...
Well, hold on. What are we leaving it in? Because your cheeks are clenched.
Oh, Jesus. Our special guest out of Los Angeles, Raven, with us. How are you?
I think we should just skip to the guest.
You know what? Let's get to our guest, and I'm going to allow you to go ahead and introduce her to us.
I was actually going to introduce her, then I realized I didn't write any notes about her, so I'm just going to go off the top of my head.
Why don't you just, Matt, flip your
I have it right. I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say.
Coming to the podcast... Standing barely 5 feet tall, from Knoxville, Tennessee, Miss Emily.
You're gonna mess up the name.
Anzulis. I got it right.
There we go.
You did.
There we go. See, she's even on the line.
I was waiting to see how you did.
She hasn't hung up yet. So, but no, for the listeners out there who have finally gotten through the first 2 minutes of this debacle. Emily has been a very unique life story. But recently, obviously, she has appeared on NBC's Titan Games that is hosted by Dwayne Johnson, or as most of his fans know him as The Rock. Emily has done MMA fighting. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. I don't know why.
They have an awesome mayor.
They do have a great mayor. Yes. Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't want to live in Knoxville? They have a great mayor.
Been to Tennessee.
And she recently had a tryout at the Performance Center with the WWE earlier this year, which we will get all into that right now. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, and children definitely the size of Emily, let's welcome Emily to the show. I think this is where like he bumps in the clapping and stuff. Don't worry. We'll get you all that part of the show. So post-production. Fix it in post, as they say.
Emily, can you tell that... Mr. Raven is just sitting in on this one.
Yeah.
There was no prep on that at all.
I'm really not a guest host of the show each week. But welcome to the show. Emily.
Sorry, you broke up just a little bit.
Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry. Welcome to the show. Her phone's breaking
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's just breaking up.
How are you doing?
Doing great. It's nice to hear someone say how y'all doing, because that's how I say how y'all doing. But I'm from Louisiana.
I don't know if you've ever been to Tennessee, by the way you're talking about it.
No, I've never been to Tennessee, but I gotta go.
So, you were born in Florida?
Yes, I was born in Fort Walton Beach.
And when did you move to Tennessee?
It was back in about 2000.
Okay. For, did you go
to... My dad, my parents met and married in the Air Force Base in Eglin, and I have a sister and two brothers, and they relocated my dad up to Tennessee, and... yeah, we just packed up and moved up here and been here ever since.
So you didn't get kicked out of Florida for beating up a boy at the age of six?
Well, that no. No, I was... So, that was my first day of taekwondo, and my parents weren't sure if this was for me or not, and the first day, I had to beat a little boy up into a wall, and my parents were like, yep, this is her thing.
And
that's awesome.
How long did you participate in taekwondo, and did you move up because you did MMA? Did you do any jiu-jitsu, or were there any other art forms of karate or taekwondo or jiu-jitsu that you pursued?
Absolutely. So since 6 years old, basically all the way up until about 4 years ago, I'd say, I've been consistent with taekwondo, and I got my third degree black belt.
Wow.
That. So it took about accumulation of maybe 10 to 12 years of training.
Mm.
And then once I started not getting bored of that, I just wanted to escalate my training, and I started getting into jiu-jitsu, and I've been, I got my blue belt in that, and that's about a couple years of training there. And then I wanted to, put everything together, and I wanted to fight. So, that's just, I've done tournaments and stuff in taekwondo, and tournaments and competitions and, you name it, I've done it. And then I really wanted to test it and fight in the cage. So it all kind of led to that.
Is that a different feeling when you actually get in the cage and start training in the cage as compared to just training on the open mat?
Man, let me tell you, you can try to simulate a cage fight all day. You can train all day and try to see what you do in the ring, but you cannot mimic a cage fight. That's the thing. So once you're in there, you all your game plan goes south, especially if you're very amateur at it and you've, especially your first fight, all your game plans go south.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. It's totally terrifying and awesome at the same time. Your adrenaline is absolutely crazy. So, I got 2 black eyes and, bruised up everywhere, but I didn't notice until the next morning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I didn't know. So, it was definitely pretty eye-opening.
No, I'd say at least with 2 black eyes.
They were closed up. That's funny.
Yeah, it was 6 days later. It was eye-opening.
Eye-opening at that point.
After my eyes went down, I woke up.
So, Emily, what would you say, as you went through your journey of, taekwondo and jiu-jitsu, was there any inspirations within both of those respected art forms of, people that you kind of looked up to or maybe tried to pattern yourself moving forward?
So in taekwondo, I was homeschooled growing up, and all my brothers and my sister were all homeschooled growing up. So we very much relied on each other. And, I trained, my brothers didn't so much like it. They're kind of gentle souls. but me and my sister, we trained together a lot, and I gotta say that, she pushed me a lot to be better, and we helped each other out and stuff. And then once I started getting older into about older teenager years, I really got into the self-defense side of it, because there's a lot out there in this world that you got to be careful of. So I really got serious. That's when I started doing jiu-jitsu, learning how to ground fight and self-defense and taking care of myself, because, I'm a huge advocate for that, for women to know, because, self-defense should be taught to everybody, and women need to know how to take care of themselves. So I really wanted to be a strong voice for the women to... It's a very uncomfortable sport. You're around sweaty men, sweat falls in your eyes. It's pretty rough. But the more that you get in that uncomfortable situation, you become comfortable. So, right. you know, I just started basically just training and showing women that, yeah, it's uncomfortable, yeah, it sucks, but look what I can do, you know, and take care of myself. So yeah.
Being homeschooled, did you have a lot of extracurricular activity type things that you would do where you would interact with people? And at a certain point, was there ever a situation where you were kind of in that made you think, boy, I'm glad I have this training and background? Or was there even like a reputation of like, hey, if you want to like date Emily, watch out because she can kick your ass?
Yeah, I didn't really date until I was in my 20s. Yeah, that was hard because I was like, why are you touching me? You know, but yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm pretty rare because training is such a huge part of my life, even at a young age. And being homeschooled, you know, I wasn't, you know, I had friends. I had friends from, you know, my taekwondo place, and I had church, and I had my sister, and, you know, I'm not much of a, you know, I'm a social butterfly, but, I mean, I take training very seriously, and it's funny, because as a kid, you know, you don't think you should do that, but that's how I was. So, yeah, it definitely, you know, that helped me as I got older to take it more seriously, and you know, with homeschooling, definitely a little bit hard to kind of branch out and get out there, but I learned fast, and, you know, martial arts really helps you be confident in yourself, and so I was just fine. So.
And you did mention your sister. She was battling cancer. What was it like going mm-hmm. through that, having someone so close and impactful on your life, you know, and you being a fighter, literally, having someone mm-hmm. who's, you know, in a different type of fight?
Right. So, like I said, we trained together growing up, and about 5 years ago, she just had I think it was a meniscus tear. And she went to go have it looked at here in Knoxville, and they looked at the scan, and they noticed that something was wrong. So they sent her to Vanderbilt, and then they, you know, they told her she had bone cancer, and it was in her shin bone, which it was in her entire shin bone. And then the doctor said that, you know, they had to remove the bone and put in a cadaver, and, you know, they told her, because the bone is such a crucial part of running and doing all these agility things, that she'd never be able to run and, you know, do any of this stuff again. So we kind of just froze, like, you know, I didn't want to be selfish in training when she couldn't.
Right.
You know, so, I was trying to be sensitive to what she was going through, but she told me to not stop because she knew how important it was to me. So, you know, she went through hell for a couple years. You know, the bone kept rejecting, you know, they kept going in and opening up the whole leg and getting in there and doing stuff. I mean, it was a fight for a couple years. And every time they would ask her, because before they would take her back, they would always ask her, you know, you don't have to go through this. We can take it off and give you a prosthetic. And she's like, you're going to have to fight me to take my leg off. You know, she's just as stubborn as I am. So, but right now, currently, we finally got the last surgery took, and she hasn't rejected in about, I think it's been about 2 years since her last surgery.
Wow.
And so she's had two daughters since then, two little
wow.
miracles.
Mm-hmm.
She struggled a lot with that leg, though. She has, I think she recently just broke her toe and doesn't even know it because her foot is numb. She might have to get a knee replacement. She might have, you know, there's a possibility that the pain might get too much to where she might have to get it taken off. eventually. But for right now, she's very positive. She's a very, very, very positive person. And she actually is able to run a little bit, you know, proving the doctors wrong again. Wow. She's able to run a little bit. She's able to do whatever she can. You know, she's a mom and works, but, you know, I help her as much as she can so she can, you know, she's gotten really skinny. So I've been trying to help her put some muscle back on her and, you know, help her get strong. So,
sure.
Yeah, she's a fighter too.
So kind of going with that, I mean, from what you're telling us is pretty much you and your sister had the one thing you have in common is being fighters and proving people wrong. When it comes to you, what would you say you fight for in general, whether it's, you know, in the ring, outside the ring, inside the cage, outside the cage? What do you fight for that you want everybody to know?
There's a lot of reasons. You know, my sister is a big one. And when her first child was born, it was a very special time because we didn't know if she could have kids after all this. So when she was born, you know, it was like I had a very protective instinct over her. And, you know, so her kids, I'm so, so close to them. She lives right down the street from me right now. And, you know, they're when I was on the Titan Games, you know, earlier this year, you know, they were watching the TV and, you know, they knew I was on there and stuff. And, you know, it's just amazing to have their little eyes, you know, like every time I see a workout video, they think it's me, whether it's me or not, you know, they just know that that's what I do. Like, it's crazy. Like, I'll show them a cage fight and I'm like, who's that? You know, this is me, you know, I have a huge, huge, huge heart for kids, you know, and for women who don't have a voice and, you know, from all the people that I've met that have helped me and all my, you know, just everyone that has helped me. You know, I'm really grateful for everyone who's gotten me this far. And, you know, I fight for myself. I fight for them. And, you know, they keep me going. They keep me motivated.
Let me ask you, do the kids call you Aunt Emily, or do they have, like, a special name for you?
They do. They do. I don't know how this happened, but Charlie, the oldest one, when she was learning how to talk, you know, she, you know, the kids make up names for you, but she calls me Kaku. And I don't know. I don't, like, me and my sister are like, I guess that's cute. We don't know. It sounds kind of weird, but that's what she calls me. Like, that's Kaku. And
oh, sweet.
So, and then Lorelai is the youngest one. She's almost two, and she says Tatu. So, I mean, it's just, you know. Yeah, they don't know my real name.
That's your name.
Yeah.
So, you know, outside of, you know, a lot of your ambitious, you know, journey, you know, what are some things that you like to do to just unwind that's just for you? That's just something totally for you outside of training, because I'm pretty sure training does a lot for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy you say that if I don't train or do something every day, if I don't sweat or just get it out of me, I'm a monster. Like, I'm serious about that. Like, that's how much I love training. And if I don't feel like I've worked that day, I get really, really upset. It's a little bit psycho, yes. But, you know, that's honestly, it's my sanity and it's my unwind at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I get it out of me. And it's ingrained. You can't change it for me. I mean, I'm 27 years old. So, I mean, that's who I am. Aside from that, you know, I love being with my nieces and my sister and, you know, just playing house or playing, you know, with Play-Doh. I don't care.
But that was that was before the kids even came along, right? Playing house and playing with Play-Doh were probably still hobbies, right?
Yeah, I love Play-Doh. I love Play-Doh.
So kind of a note to self, if anybody, you know, wants to date you or anything like that, you know, to whereas most women, you have to ask the question, did you eat yet? Because you might be hangry. Your question would be, did you train today? If not, you probably should.
If not, I'll see you in a little bit. You go. Yeah, that's basically it. And I'm, you know, I'm lame. I don't really, you know, like the, you know, parties are trouble, so I stay away from those, and I'm just a little bit lame, a little bit, but it's gotten me this far, so I'm just keep on doing what I'm doing.
So kind of talking about your training, if you could kind of just quickly tell us, you know, what does your training consist of?
Like currently?
Yeah, like currently, what does your training consist of, if you give us like a quick short summary?
Oof. Well, currently, I usually get up 5:30 every morning, and I train strength and conditioning with my coach here. I have a job, so I work during the day, and then I train wrestling at night for 4 hours.
Wow! And the wrestling, you're training with Dr. Tom Howard, Dr. Tom Pritchard. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How did you come across the school?
It's the most crazy story. Our mayor of Knoxville is Glenn Jacobs, Kane. And, you know, it's just crazy how, you know, he became mayor, and then Dr. Tom, he moved. I can't remember what he said. He moved here, and they opened up a school together in January of this year.
Right.
And, you know, my dad saw it and told me, and, you know, he's like, it's crazy. Like, they opened a school. I was like, what are you talking about? So, I mean, of course I had to go check it out. And training with Dr. Tom, like, it is the most entertaining, like, when he talks, everyone shuts up, you know, because when he talks, like, you just know what he's talking about, and he, you know, it's like you just want to listen to everything he says. You know, he is a wonderful, wonderful coach. You know, I enjoyed 4 hours is a long time, but honestly, I mean, this is one of the hardest camps I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, in all honesty, you know, it's hard, but you know, he really makes it fun, and you know, it's really hard, but you know, it is the most fun thing I've ever done, to be honest, and it's incredible.
But so obviously the wrestling aspect is part of your life now, but the way you got to wrestling kind of led through being casted for a TV show, the new version of American Gladiators, which obviously is Titan Games. So take us back to that part first. Like, how did you apply, and what was the process of, you know, applying to auditioning to being, you know, asked to be part of the show?
This is a crazy story. I love this story because I was watching Jimmy Fallon, and The Rock was on there talking about his new show. And he's like, you know, don't talk about it, just join me. And my sister goes, oh my gosh, you should totally try out for it. I'm like, don't be dumb. Like, that's ridiculous. So I was literally sitting in Panera Bread that next day, and I looked it up. I looked at the website, and, you know, it said apply. It was maybe 3-4 pages long, and I got halfway done with it, and I was like, oh, this ain't going to happen, so I put it down. And then, I know, I didn't finish it, And so maybe a week later or a couple days later, my sister asked if I filled it out, and I was like, no. Like, I have to send in, you know, like a video of myself and pictures. I'm like, I don't have time. Like, fine. So I finished filling it out, and literally 2 days later, they called me, and I thought it was a mean prank. I was like, this is not nice. Like, this is mean. And they said, like, we love your videos and everything. I was like, I just sent you stuff I already had in my phone. Like, what are you talking about? So after, it was a long waiting process, Skype interviews, phone interviews, emails. I mean, it was stressful because you had no idea if you should get excited or just kind of, you know, get your hopes up type thing. You know, and then I found out I got invited to the Combine, and about 100 of us were invited to the Combine, and then, you know, only 64 made it to the game.
Wow.
You know, and I got to say that, you know, that whole experience was, you know, even though my outcome wasn't, you know, I didn't win the show, it still was the most impactful thing I've ever done. And, you know, I got super blessed, lucky, whatever you want to say, that, you know, I was the first athlete and, you know, girl to be announced on the show. You know, like the premiere, I was on the premiere, first person to be introduced was me. So, like, that was crazy.
So the opening of the first show, the first ever episode, and you're the first person they see, technically, as a competitor. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Weren't you...
Crazy.
No, were you the first female to complete one of the major challenges, or...
Yeah, so my first event was the Herculean pull, which was the tug of war, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, it was just so much pressure, and Dwayne Johnson was watching you, and like, I just couldn't keep it together. I was freaking out. And then I was just laughing because I'm like, how did I even get here? You know, like, I'm from Knoxville. What am I doing here? I'm going to go home. So, you know, when, you know, that whole, it was crazy because I was an underdog going in. And I didn't know it because I don't see myself as that, but everyone else did. So I was like confused. Like, what do you mean I'm an underdog? Like, watch this. Yeah, watch this. So, you know, I won my first event. And then after that, you do Mount Olympus, which is the big mountain you have to do at the end, and I ended up winning my episode. I was the first one to complete that, so it was just a lot of firsts on that show, and it was just, man, let me tell you, it was, I still like get nervous talking about it, you know, because it really wasn't that long ago, but it was just one of the best experiences ever.
So from there, once the Titan Games airs on TV, obviously they create their social media accounts and add all of the cast members online. I click on the Instagram page and, you know, scouting for potential...
Stalking.
Well, you know, stalking people to send to...
Stalking with rewards.
Yeah, yeah. You know, stalking people who are gullible enough to go down to Orlando, Florida and try out for WWE. So I even still have the email right now. I have it right in front of me. It was sent on January 16th of 2019. So this year, just, you know, 8-9 months ago. And so you get a message in your email that's just random saying, hey, would you like to try out for the WWE? And obviously, you know, through the course of, let's see, how long did it take her to respond back to me? I have it right here.
What?
She responded back the same day. And then, it took about 3 days.
Yeah.
Got all her info. So, you know, I assume just by talking to you back then, I don't think you were really a big pro wrestling fan, which is not a problem at all. But did you, first, I want to know, were there other options that, you know, contacted you after your appearance on Titan Games, like the other...
He wants to know if he was your one and only.
Well, no, but... Well, I mean, were there other TV shows? Were there, I mean, other opportunities come along? Per se, or...
So, you know, the hype was pretty big, you know, in January. I think the premiere was on the 2nd or 3rd or something. So the hype was really big around then. I mean, my social media blew up. You know, and then, you know, all of us, like the whole crew, we talk and stuff still, and we're all talking about, so, like, what do we do next? You know, like, what's next if... Because, you know, there's some things, I got to admit, you know, I don't know if the rest of them have gotten opportunities. And that it's kind of heartbreaking because you've worked so hard to get on the show and try to do well and get your name out there, and then nothing happens, and it really sucks.
Yeah.
Being honest, yeah, you're the first one to reach out to me, and I think I probably stared at my phone for a good hour. And I was just like, no. I was like, no way. For a second.
Now, when you saw...
I was like, no way.
So when you saw the email, were you sitting in Panera Bread also during this?
I never go to Panera Bread.
Oh.
So
like,
wow. Weird.
So,
I don't know.
That would have been funny. You got the email, and obviously through I think your tryout was what, in April or May?
April.
So
April.
You got the email in January. Your tryout was 4 months later. You know, the process of me emailing you and then pitching you to Canyon and Paul. And then obviously they take it over and you get the email from them saying, hey, we're going to send you down to Orlando, Florida.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, tell us about that process, because you know a lot of people who listen to this podcast. I mean, obviously they're all wrestling fans, and they all read the internet. And you know, once the tryouts happen, the WWE puts pictures up of the recruits who are in that camp at that time. And obviously, your picture was up there with a little description of, you know, who you are and your past. But for the fans who listen to this podcast, and for the people who always hear about these tryouts, like, what, take us through, like, as much as you can remember from the point of, you know, arriving in Orlando to, like, I know you guys had roommates in the hotel, and the first time just walking into that giant building known as the WWE Performance Center.
This is cool. This is the first time I talked about it, so this is really cool. You know, when I found out that I was going, because between the email I got from you and from actually hearing that I was going was probably 2 months. And, you know, I kind of almost forgot about it, to be honest, because I was like, oh, yeah. and then I got the email saying I was going, and again, just shocked that this opportunity is, you know, coming to me. And I was so determined, like, I didn't know what I'll be doing. I didn't know much, you know, what to expect. But the thing is, with all the lessons that I've learned from martial arts to, all the martial arts learning that I've learned, from the Titan Games, you know, we didn't know what we were doing until the night of. So I'm very used to, you know, just going with the flow. And I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of. And I know that I can adapt super quickly. And this, I was like, I haven't wrestled like this before. But with my background, I was like, I know I can do this. You know, I was very respectably confident going in. You know, I'm very confident that I can do it. But I didn't want to disrespect anybody that, you know, has been wrestling their whole life that would be there. And I haven't, you know, so I really wanted to make sure that I had a good respect for everyone going in and, you know, just getting my head right. And just, you know, I was so determined to make my mark. And, you know, the roommate I had, I could not ask for a better roommate, man. I swear to you, she made me laugh so hard. I mean, she was like my hype girl. She was so great. Oh, my gosh. So she made it all great. And walking into the performance center, I mean, I was honestly like, I was ready to go as soon as I walked in. Like, I was ready. I was ready to show everything I was made of. Because the Titan Games, you know, it showed what I can do, but I really wanted to show, like, everything I can do. So, and I knew that this would let me do that. And I could not, like, I was so overwhelmed with gratitude and just, I was so ready to rock and roll when I got in there.
So, you know, I mean, obviously, to some people, when you tell them that, you know, you watch WWE or you work for WWE or whatever people may say that connects them to that company or the industry as a whole, some people are like, oh, you know, that stuff's fake and so on, blah, blah, blah. But for someone who, as yourself, who has walked into that building, the performance center, were you kind of taken back of everything that's in there and all that it takes to become a pro wrestler?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt like, you know, like almost very emotional about where I was. And like, I know so many great people have been there. And, you know, I'm sorry. What was your question again?
Just about the building itself, because, you know, I mean, obviously, you have the school you're currently training in, and it's a great school, as a lot of schools are across the country for the smaller towns. But seeing the WWE Performance Center with all the gym, the part of the building that has the gym in it, and the other half that has like the six different rings in it, you know, I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people are taken back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I totally remember now what I was going to say. The, you know, my respect for, you know, being a pro wrestler and, you know, getting to experience a little piece of what these guys do. I mean, my respect just, you know, I respected them going in, but actually experiencing what they actually do and what it takes, I gained so much respect for them just being in there, you know, and in the, you know, like you said, part weight room and, you know, and the ring from the other side, and a little bit daunting at first. You know, it's very big and it's very, you know, dramatic. There's a, you know, stage in the back, and so just being able to walk in the same footsteps as some of these guys, I mean, it was very, very eye-opening.
And so, obviously, you go through the 3 days in Orlando, and you come back home. So from the point you came back home in April to the time you started training with Dr. Tom, how long was that? Like, was it weeks, months? Or?
So I came back in April, and then May, June, July. The camp started in, I believe, August. The next cycle, his second camp was finishing up, and the next one started in August. So that time I was kind of in limbo of, you know, training, and I really wanted to get in there. Like, I was on this high of coming back from the tryout, and I was like, I want to learn everything. I want to absolutely, you know, just never stop learning about this, because it was so awesome. And, you know, I did go in there, and I met with, you know, Dr. Tom and talked to him, and I knew that I needed to be there. So it was a good 2-3 months that before I started training in the camp.
So from the trial at the Performance Center to training with Dr. Tom, and then finding out WWE's bringing Monday Night Raw to Knoxville, Tennessee, and which show you went to, and I believe you told me that was the first WWE live event you've ever attended?
Yeah.
So, what'd you think of the product at that point? Seeing from being in the Performance Center for just 3 days, and then being at a live event for the, you know, biggest TV cable show on Monday nights, you know, the lights, the cameras, all the stars. Like, what was it like being at your first ever, you know, WWE event?
I mean, walking in the, you know, Thompson Bowling Arena, you know, I've been there before, you know, I live here. But having the stage, just like, you know, everyone's locked in on that stage. And, you know, just there was so much going on. Like, my senses were going crazy. You know, I was so locked into what was going on. I could not be more excited.
So did it make you hungry and, like, a little bit more determined to say, like, this, you know, is pro wrestling going to be something you really are going to go for and try to make it a career somewhere?
Yeah, so, you know, I thought I would be anxious almost a little bit taken back, or because Dr. Tom did tell us, you know, he told me, since it's your first show, really pay attention to what you're feeling, you know, and if it, you know, like, you know, some people watch their shows and they're like, I don't know if I can do this. You know, it scares them or it's intimidating or whatever. And it was the exact opposite for me. You know, like, I was like wanting to come out of my seat because I was just so, like, I want to be in there so bad. Because, like, everything from, you know, them walking out, I could feel the energy. I could feel just, oh my gosh, it was the best time.
And, of course, there was a point in the show where Kane came out and, you know, did what he did at the end of the show. And, you know, obviously the fans there went wild for him because Kane is, you know, Glenn Jacobs, the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Uh-oh.
Did you vote for Kane?
Me?
Did you vote for Glenn Jacobs to become mayor of Knoxville?
Of course I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. I don't know. I don't know who else was running. I think, you know, maybe he was running by himself.
Bigger question for you, Emily. Did you know who Glenn Jacobs was before he was running?
I'm going to be real honest. No.
All right. Hey, that's good.
He was a great candidate.
So that showed that his, you know, what he was fighting for the city and to become mayor, he won you over with that and not just of his celebrity status.
With who he was, yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's crazy because I saw him today. He's so big, man. Oh my gosh.
Well, you're only 4 feet tall, so
I mean, he's big for someone like me that's 6'3".
1.5".
Oh, you're 5'1". So, seeing that you voted for Kane, because, or Glenn, based off of his values towards the city, would you vote for The Rock if he ran for president? Seeing that you and him are like buddy buddies now, you know, I'm sure you're texting The Rock all the time, right?
Listen, I admire him so much because I'm be real with you, you know, like on the Titan Games and stuff, you know, I was very blessed to make it as far as I did, and the farther you made it along, the more opportunities you had to talk with him. And, you know, like everything you see on social media, everything you see on, and everything he posts, everything he says, it's all like, it's who he is.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I was like, oh, you really are. Who I think you are, you know? It was just crazy.
You could really smell what he was cooking.
I really felt it, man. And he really does eat all that sushi.
Yeah, I bet he does. Oh.
He really does. So yes, I would vote for him.
Pie. He likes pie also. He likes pie. So, you know, obviously, you know, people are seeing, you know, clips on your Instagram of you training and so forth. And you being in wrestling, you know, training and doing the Titan Games brings up, you know, in a lot of people's minds, someone who is currently, you know, wrestling in the NXT brand, who did a reality show like the Gladiators, American Ninja Warrior, Casey Catanzaro, you know, and obviously she is blowing a lot of people's minds with her athleticism in the ring, coming straight from a TV show, a competition TV show, into the pro wrestling world. If you had the chance to ever be a tag team, or actually, let me ask you this. Would you rather be, if you had the chance, would you rather be a tag team with her, or would you rather wrestle her one-on-one?
Tag team.
Tag team.
For sure. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Tag team, because, I mean, you know, we're both short, of course, and small. So I think that would just be the biggest, you know, oh, my gosh. Totally tag team.
Yeah, just don't say like short and small, because if there are ears ever listening anywhere in this world that are WWE ears and it gets back to Vince, you're gonna end up doing like the Munchkins tag team. They'll dress you up as like Lollipop Guild or something.
Is there?
No, not at all. We're just joking with you. I was going to take it a step further and have y'all like come down to the New Day's Yellow Brick Road to just take out the rest, but leave the Yellow Brick Road.
No, they would. Nah. They would make you do that. Rome here has a question for you.
Yeah. You can edit that one out. All right. So, you know, Emily, kind of talking about The Rock and how you notice, you know, kind of get an opportunity to get to know him, how he is exactly who he is, and like, you know, what he is on his social media. You know, I'm going to start my question off with sharing with people listening a very powerful quote from a very wise woman. Growth is often uncomfortable, messy, and full of feelings you weren't expecting, but it's necessary. Do you know where that came from?
That was from my post.
Ah. Can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by that? Because I found that so very inspirational and profound.
Oh, that means a lot to me, because, you know, if I'm comfortable, I get really anxious. Like, I'm not growing. You know, if I'm hurting, if I'm in pain, if I'm struggling, I actually embrace it because I know I'm going to grow and learn from it. Without getting too deep in, you know, to past and struggles and stuff, you know, growing up, you know, of all the reasons why I did martial arts, you know, like I said, it was for self-defense. So there's been some stuff that has happened to me to where, you know, I've had to use it. So, you know, it's necessary. You know, people who want to live mediocre and just be comfortable, they never get anywhere. You know, they don't grow as humans. They don't, you know, learn from, you know, I just can't imagine just having a mediocre life and not being able to grow, you know. Yes, it sucks. It hurts. It, you know, I'm kicking my butt right now doing all this stuff. I mean, it's a struggle, it's a grind, and I absolutely love it because it's adding to my story. It's just making me that much stronger. I mean, there's always good from it, you know, and I tell people all the time that, you know, they tell me that they're, you know, they're struggling with, you know, their job and their work and trying to get places and goals and such. And I ask, I'm like, how hard are you trying? You know, like, you know, that's what I go by. You know, if you're not going through a struggle, if you're not going through a hard time, how are you expected to grow? You know, that's just my belief on it.
Amen. No, well said. Very well said.
Well, I think Mr. Street has a segment he'd like to throw at you, and he does a really good job setting this up, but since we are kind of running on time, he'll keep it very short, sweet, and simple.
Yeah, he's probably going to talk for an hour, but we'll try to condense it.
I'm not.
We'll keep it short and sweet.
All right, so since y'all want the short version,
yeah, kind of like
real quick. All right, so this segment is the oh shit moment. This is an opportunity for you to share a story with all of us about a time that's left you awestruck. Share that oh shit moment.
Oh no. Well,
hey, I said it's short.
I mean, can it be anything?
Anything. In the ring, out the ring, anywhere.
It's kind of... Okay, bear with me. I can't believe I'm about to say this. But it's kind of ironic. Okay. I am a massage therapist. That's my job.
Oh, no.
And
oh, no.
So, I've been doing it for almost 8 years, right? And there's been a lot of, you know, every massage therapist that's listening, they're going to get it. If there is any, I don't know. So, within my first 6 months, I was 19. Just got my license, and I was 19, and I was working. And, you know, I had a man. And he was, you know, had too much dinner, maybe, that's how you put it. And, you know, I worked on him, you know, did the massage, and, you know, everything went great, you know, got him in there, got him relaxed, took him back to the lounge or whatever. So I came back, and I started smelling something. And I was... just kind of like standing in the doorway, not exactly in the room, but standing in the doorway, and I just stood there. I was like, maybe he just, you know, farted and left. You know, I don't know. And I was like, no, it's still there. So I was sitting there some more. I was like, I'm afraid to go look.
This is literally so, oh shit.
I was like, oh shit.
Wow.
There's a girl that helps clean, and she stood right next to me, and she goes, is that what I think it is? Yep. So we looked, and there's a nice couple of
nuggets.
Wow.
Soft serve.
Wow. This was like the first ever oh shit
moment. Oh shit of the shit.
Oh my god.
I mean that's one of my favorite stories, because you can't make this up.
No, you can't make this shit up at all.
No.
Wow.
Well, I tell you what, I've heard about massages, you know, rubbing out the toxins, but you must be really good at that job to rub the shit out of somebody.
Literally, that's what happened.
Wow.
I will literally rub the shit out
of you. I'll rub the shit out of you.
That could be your business card.
There you go. Rub so good or rub the shit out of you.
So Emily, I have to ask then, as a follow up, as a client, did you guys dump him?
Ba-doom doom.
He has not been back. No. I mean, that was over 8 years ago. So,
wow. So I guess you would call this then a running joke for you guys.
Oh wow. Wow.
Let me add to it here. I mean, like, we have a sauna where I work as well. And yeah, it just, you know, like a little some was baked, and you know, and then you know, it was great. Yeah, I kind of wanted to quit after that. I was like, well, this is what I got myself into. So.
Wanted to flush that career down the drain.
Well, I tell you what, you really deal with a lot of shit at your job.
It's ridiculous.
I honestly think he should just retire this question, because I don't think it's going to get any better.
I don't think so either. In January, we're going to do a compilation of Oh Shit. And do a voting online, and
yeah.
I mean, I'm be honest with you, it's gonna be a really tough bout. I mean,
it's
wow,
gonna be, it's gonna be hard to beat the shit out of this.
Yeah,
but wow. Yeah.
I mean, literally,
oh
shit.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, I kind of was expecting the answer to go somewhere else, as most massage therapists may deal on a daily basis.
That's what we thought. We thought like wood would rise from the grave or something, but it was all about shit.
I mean, those are other moments, but it's not really.
It's common.
That's funnier.
Yeah, this is way. Yeah, this was.
Oh, if I were you, I would have run and hid in a teepee.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing the most shittiest, most. I mean, talk about shit hitting the ceiling fan. Thank you.
I mean, that was.
Oh, sounds like your office likes to play craps.
I mean, if this one doesn't win the number one award, it's definitely number two.
Oh.
I mean, just off this conversation, I need to like seriously think about how are we gonna have like I don't know, a trophy or something.
We're gonna send you a trophy. Oh,
shit nuggets.
Gonna be like soft serve ice cream trophy.
There you go.
Be whatever you want. Oh, I trust me. We became friends with a millionaire earlier today, so we're gonna have him create a trophy.
Oh shit.
What? Yeah. I'll leave it at this. Like. Next time I go to, once the trophy's done, I'm going to go to Orlando. I'm going to drop it off with Mr. Ryan Katz. I believe you know who he is. And it's going to be up to you.
Yes.
It's going to be up to you sometime, you know, in the future to go to Orlando to pick it up, you know.
Oh,
and I'll just leave it at
if
that.
If you leave it like that, he's going to go from smiley to smelly.
Wow.
Listen, I would do that for you.
It's great. That was a tremendous story.
That was really good. That shit is gonna last with me for the whole rest of the week.
All I can say is you are definitely a defecated massage therapist.
Oh my God.
I could probably write a short book about the stories I have, but that's one of my favorites.
Short.
It is now our favorite. Our favorite story, yeah, as well.
That's unbelievable. I'm speechless.
So hold on, I have the last question. The last question is my segment. So I'm gonna say the last question. The last question is as y'all noticed and surveyed the room to clean, did you see trail droppings like from where he was laying to the door?
Well, like I said, after the massage, he went into the sauna apparently, and it was baked in there. And then he went into the shower, into the toilet, and it was everywhere.
Wow! Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Cleaning up those doo-doo flakes in the sauna must have not been fun.
That's wild.
Oh.
Wow.
It was. Oh my gosh. It was, like I said, it wasn't even 6 months into my first. Yeah. I was like, is this going to happen all the time?
Amazing.
Like, please don't tell me it's going to happen all the time.
Amazing. We have hit the 60-minute mark, and it's time to wrap up the show. So, for everyone listening, I'm sure your Instagram followers went up after you appeared on the Titan Games and so forth, and I can only imagine what appears in your DMs, but...
In her case, it's BMs.
Probably a lot of shit.
I'm really trying to wrap this up, but they keep throwing in the jokes. But as I said earlier, first of all, thank you for answering the email way back in January, because it's taking your life to a different level that could possibly lead to a great career for you. So, and you know, hopefully one day you and Casey can be that tag team. They could call you like the Twin Towers or something like that. But so real quick, tell all the audience, where can they find you on social media? Twitter, Instagram, YouTube? What do you got?
I've got Instagram. It's just my name, which is really hard to spell. But it's Emily_Anzulis. And I have a Twitter. It's the same thing. I have a Facebook fan page, which is EmilyAnzulis-ThePitbull. And that's my fan page, and I try to keep everyone updated with everything that's going on, showing them, you know, stuff that I'm doing, and yeah, that's about it.
Running the ropes, flipping off the top rope, doing the spin kick. Pretty, that spin kick's pretty nice. I did like that. So,
I'm starting to get my kicks in.
Yes. Emily, thank you so much for joining the Vegas Bad Boys, you know, their podcast.
Thank you so much.
Gave me a reason to fly out to Vegas and hang out with them and go to Cracker Barrel. Thank you so much. We wish you the best in your future in the pro wrestling world. You know, your Pitbull, I think you're going to shock a lot of people. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who have their eyes on you for whatever life is going to bring you over the next year or so. So enjoy it. Have fun. You have an amazing teacher. Learn. Soak it all in. His brother works for WWE, so ask him for comps. And if you ever get in trouble with the police in Knoxville, just say, hey, I know the mayor. So,
get your hands off, man. I know the mayor.
Oh, wow. Police put their hands on you? Okay. What's going on in Knoxville? Okay, Knoxville. All right. I got to wrap this up. So the sound guy is counting me down. I think he has something to say.
All I have to say is, we'll be back after this.
We'll be brack?
Black?
Brack.
Brack. Brack. Black and back put together. Brack.
Well, you're police in hands on.
I guess so.
We'll be back after this short shit. I mean, after the short break. Jesus, I'm missing it.
You only have one duty on this show.
Yeah, man. Get your shit together.
Yeah, you get your... Like Brian Cage, you get your shit yet. Come on.
Whatever.
Vegas. Bad Boys of podcasting. Holding you down since day one. January 2019.
The hottest podcast in the universe.
There's like 1,000 podcasts.
Vegas Bad Boys day one. Say.
Different. Thoughts. Outrageous.
Interview.
Exciting.
Interesting.
Intriguing.
Amazing.
Funny. Intergalactic.
Bad Boys. If you haven't listened to all of our podcasts, take a listen of what you might have missed. JTG.
Shad and I. Shad was the big guy. Is it the same size? One is a little bit fatter, right?
Yeah.
One is cut. Yeah. One is kind of like pudgy.
Yeah, that's Angelo. Oh,
yeah. Oh, I guess it's kind of similar to me, Shad. Yeah, I'm kind of like the...
Al Snow.
Well, yeah, I did. I actually wrote a book. I also, just so you guys know, I do magic for the blind.
Wow.
It's my way of giving back to the community, you know. It's, let me tell you. It's like, is this your card? And it's like, I don't know. And you're like, it is. Ta-da. Like, oh, my God. I do it.
Jeff Cobb.
You know, I don't plan to wrestle into my late 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, like, you know, but, you know, again, I say that now, but...
Right.
it's like the weirdest addiction ever, you know? Like,
yeah, we know. B. Brian Blair.
All of a sudden, I look in the mirror and Terry's, you know, spanking his woody on top of the back of Coco's ass.
Oh!
His pants ripped, and I'm going, oh my gosh, man, we're going to prison.
Vicky Guerrero.
You know, you are definitely, in our minds, a Hall of Famer, because...
I'll give you $5 later, guys.
Phil Landers.
How do you guys do this? Are you guys in like a recording studio? Or are you guys in a home studio?
Hey, you don't contact WWE Creative and ask them how they write Raw, do you?
We're
all in a bathroom.
We're in a bathroom. Right, yeah, we're in a bathhouse. We're
in
a
bathtub.
You're all in a bathhouse.
RVD.
If I hit a squirrel with my car, it would totally ruin my day. I mean, I was like, I'd get out of the car and I'd try to save it, you know. And
Selena De La Renta.
When you say Selena at work, Selena in real life, it's about the same. It's a preparation for my everyday life. It's about the same my preparation for MLW. The only thing is I need twice the amount of makeup and probably tighter dresses. But
Nick Aldis.
I do love Vegas, and you know what's funny is that, like, the first time I went was actually for TNA when I debuted at the Main Event Mafia. I'd never been to Vegas before then.
Wow.
But in many ways, it's really the showbiz capital of America.
Yep.
You know, like, there's so much show business going on there all the time. I just love that vibe.
Vegas Bad Boys, a podcast, has over 50 interviews, and they keep on coming. Make sure you subscribe. Keep listening. Write a review about our podcast. Come to our live events. Participate in our contest. Like our social media. And most importantly, tell all your family and friends about us. We're Vegas born, and we are Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.